Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ. My name's Luke Clayton, and I am your host. Today, we are having a conversation with Bo Snyder, who is no stranger to Church Media HQ. In fact, he has been on the show many times before, and so we're excited to have a conversation with Bo today. Bo is a videographer and producer. He really does all things video, from shooting to editing. He has helped us produce just about every short film that we have made here at Must Increase. And Bo is a huge help. He's the producer of this podcast and can't say enough good things about him. So let's get right to our conversation with Bo Snyder. Which brings us to our next point of view.
Yeah.
And that is by who actually we just got done releasing his episodes here not too long ago. This is an article by Josh Tice. Josh Tice is the lead pastor, founding pastor of Southern Hills Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he's put a really interesting article out. It was back in October, so it's been out there a while. And honestly, I am trying to get Josh to come back on the show, and I want to ask him about this specifically. To be honest with you, and Josh is all about, you know, different viewpoints or whatever. I don't know if I agree 100% with everything he says in this article. However,
but you know what's funny? He would be okay with that.
You could still
have that. He's that kind of guy.
He actually. I listened to his podcast as well.
Yeah, sure.
And he just had Josh Ermler, who has also been a guest on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Josh, the two Joshes, they're super tight. But him and Ermler, they said it publicly on the podcast. We don't see eye to eye on this.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I agree 100% with everything.
Okay.
Because this is just not something that I touch. He dives into some of the maybe some of the theological reasons or mission minded reasons, and those are the ones where I'm like, okay, I mean, I see where he's coming from. I'm not sure if I agree 100%, but I guess the premise of his argument in the first half of this article, and again, you go to joshtice.com to find this article. It's the title of the article is Why Our Church Won't Have an Online Campus. So check that out. Again, it's on joshtice.com, and read it for yourself. So we're not going to read the whole thing here.
Right. But that title right there enough is to kind of like catch your eye, like, whoa, what's
going
on?
Yeah, it's definitely some good clickbait. Check this out. Josh is great. I mean, honestly, he's got some great content on his blog in general about some other things, other topics as well. But so the first part, he's basically trying to make a theological argument to some extent for it. And what I do understand where he's coming from, again, I don't know if I agree with every single point.
Okay.
But I do understand where he's coming from in that the church, from its origin, was intended to be a physical assembly. And I can see that argument.
Yep.
It's very difficult, and I think we all know this. It's not I would argue that it's not impossible, but it's very challenging to do ministry just in a virtual environment, like over, live stream and Zoom and things
Well,
like
well
that.
Check this out. I mean, this might not be a perfect example, but it kind of, helps the cause a little bit. Once again, even if we don't agree with everything, here's an idea is more and more things are happening virtually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, example, maybe fewer, my wife's teacher, fewer people are, going to the movies. They're waiting for it to come out online. Yeah. Fewer people are going to a physical place of work. They work from home now. Mm-hmm. I mean, never have more people work from home than there are now. And it's kind of, showing people, hey, you can do things just as effectively, if not more effectively, from a different place. I mean, it's actually very rare these calls that you're having on Thursdays. I mean, you couldn't do that if you had to physically meet with people. It wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these things, it's hard to realize, hey, church and people can be reached through a video screen, through a camera. And it's kind of like, well, I don't know about that, but it can happen. I promise you. And that is the way that we are going.
Yes.
So, continue.
Yes. So again, it's not impossible.
No.
But there,
no.
I do see there's an argument that it does make things more challenging.
Definitely more challenging.
Yes, when it comes to meeting, I mean, honestly, man, I don't even bother with in-person meetings anymore. Most of the time I don't even care. Like if you're across town, I'm like, okay, who cares, man? Get on Zoom with me, get on a call.
Right.
It's just more efficient.
It's very the times of, hey, let's go go to lunch and burn 2 hours. It's like, Obviously, well, that still happens, obviously. But it's like, if you want to get something done, accomplished, let's get on a call, let's get it done, and not,
So yeah, and for me, it's like, if I genuinely, like, want to hang out, like, sure.
Of course.
You know, if it's something that's, you know, like, you know, something personal, or maybe it's a little bit business and a little bit fun, too, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, this virtual meeting thing. So getting back to what Josh is saying here, I get where he's coming from.
Sure.
Doing ministry in a completely 100% virtual environment is very challenging.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see how you would not... You would lose a level of effectiveness in that.
Yep.
And I like this point he says too. He says this down the article a ways. The church is not a content distribution company, and I think that's a good point. So there's a lot of bigger churches out there, what you'd call, you know, mega churches, whatever. And they put out a lot of content. You know, they put out a lot of, you know, obviously sermons and then other, you know, supplementary content to help that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not.
And because what they're doing that to help. But that, but really at the core of the church, what's this purpose? Well, it's not to distribute content. It is to make disciples. Yeah. And so that, that is the angle that he's ultimately coming from here. And again, even if we contrast this with Andy Stanley, well, Andy Stanley isn't having, like I said, he's not having these in-person worship services as of yet. At the time of this release of this, maybe he is. Okay. I doubt it, just based on how things have been.
Right.
But he hasn't for a long time. But again, they are still meeting in their small group settings. So the church is still coming together.
Right.
And so whether you do it on a large scale in a, you know, a worship service environment or in a small group, the need to come together on, you know, at least on occasion, I can see being something that's very important.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off there, but okay, take the small group setting. I have been in church situations before where I didn't necessarily go to church because, this is one of the reasons, but not the only reason is, okay, the pastor's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he might be, he might not be. But a huge reason that we go to church is, hey, I've got five or six people that I see every single time. They encourage me, I encourage them. And it's, you don't even really mean to, it's just that you leave there refreshed, and that's what it's supposed to do. So, example of that is, okay, let's say you go to church of 1,000 people, just for sake of numbers. How many of them do you actually interact with?
Yeah.
Maybe 10, maybe, you know? So can you get the same effect, the same, you know, discipleship or what's the word? Fellowship. Fellowship. Can you get that same amount from, hey, I watch my preacher on the screen, but then I physically see the 10 people anyway in my small group?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like, is that actually different or is that actually the same?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a little bit of a rabbit trail. But...
No. It's good because I think what we, at the core of it, what I sense as someone who, I like church.
Yeah, of course. I enjoy
what
church.
We do.
Yeah.
And so, but I think, again, I don't think it matter, no matter what your denomination, your worship, preferred worship style, I don't think it matters. I think what everybody deep down, what we're sensing is, okay, what we've always known as church is in danger, if you will. If we take this approach of, well, we don't make a big deal about gathering together physically. So here's what I mean by that. Every church, I mean, you can break it down into two major segments. There's the music and worship.
Yep.
Then there's the preaching.
Yeah.
And honestly, as far as a worship service, that's how it's constructed by and large for the most part.
Yep.
There's a few elements thrown in there, you know, announcements and things like that. But I mean, by and large, that is it.
Yeah.
And so what, but that right there, that's not a theological thing.
No.
You know? If anything, it's a traditional thing. Going back to what we talked about, theology and tradition and methodology.
Yeah.
It is a tradition. It's a tradition that really the modern church, as for the most part, embraces.
Yeah.
That is what's really, because it is. I mean, being in a church, again, it doesn't matter what the worship style is. I have been in churches where it's like, man, it is really cool just to be here.
Yep.
You know, enjoying the worship time, the music and everything. And it can be really powerful.
Yeah.
And you are together. And so there is that sense of it really is a cool, a great experience.
Yeah.
It's a meaningful experience in most times. And so what I'm getting at, though, is that is what is we're in danger of losing.
Yeah.
But what we have to keep in mind is while I am certainly not for getting rid of that, I don't want to see that go away.
Right.
But what we do have to remember, we have to back it up and say, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
This is ultimately based in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based in theology.
Yeah.
We are not commanded to go and have, you know, a 20 to 30 minute worship set and then have your announcements
right.
and then have preaching yeah. for 30 to 40 minutes.
There's not a manual of that.
Yeah, there's
nothing. Where's your order of service for every church that's ever.
Yeah, there's nothing in scripture that mandates us to have it that yeah. way. What
right.
we are commanded to do, and what Josh is saying here, is that we are commanded to make disciples,
yep.
Go into all the world, preach the mm-hmm. gospel, teach them, and baptize them. And I mean, this disciple, that is the mission of the church according to scripture.
Right. Right.
And to fulfill that, you don't have to do it, even in the most traditional sense of, like I said, the conventional worship service.
Yeah.
Now, again, making this disclaimer, I'm not sitting here saying we need to abandon that. Because,
yeah.
again, I think that's very effective.
Sure.
It's proven to be very effective. What I am saying is that it is possible to even circumvent that
yeah.
particular methodology and still do the work of the church,
yeah.
which is making disciples, which
sure.
I do agree requires a little bit of assembly in the physical sense, seeing people, and maybe it's not required, but it definitely makes it a lot simpler and a lot easier and a lot more effective. There's a difference. I mean, honestly, me and you having this conversation,
yeah.
now, I have a lot of these conversations virtually over
oh,
Zoom.
Oh man, yeah.
Believe me, the conversation flows. I mean, not much, but a little bit more freely whenever it's just me and you in
sure,
person. There's
sure.
a little bit more energy,
right.
A little bit more given day. There's no delay. You don't have to worry about
yeah.
it. So I do understand that
yeah.
if nothing else, doing discipleship in a one-to-one setting that's actually you're physically together
right.
is much more effective and streamlined.
Well, I have so many thoughts. I've got so many rabbit trails going on in my mind right
Chase
now. I'm trying to keep them, you know, relevant. Okay, take what we just said at the beginning, saying, hey, are you going to hold out and not change or adapt to where you are right now? Okay,
mm-hmm.
take an example of, let's say you are a youth pastor or, you know, someone that works with young college kids mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. Okay, you could stick with where you are and say, hey, we really can't do very much right now. We can't really meet. We're not going to have any activities, you know, all these things that are kind of, you know, the old normal, I guess, you know, and kind of begin to lose touch with people. Or, I mean, if I was a pastor, I would do a lot of things. But if I was a pastor or in a place of leadership in a church right now, I would take everyone that, hey, if you have a Sunday or a life stage class or, you know, whatever you have, I want you to come up with a new virtual way that you connect with your mm-hmm. your group, okay? Example, hey, if you cannot have a – if you're not going to meet for the next – you know, 6 weeks or whatever, okay, you are going to just record a short video to send to all your kids or you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's kind of
–
you get to a place to where – what do they say? It's something what breeds innovation? What do they say?
I really don't know the –
No. The gist of it is when you are forced to come up with
yep,
stuff,
okay, yep.
you will think of genius things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, am I just going to sit here and lose engagement, lose people, or am I going to say, hey, I have to get creative.
Yeah.
If I cannot hang out with you physically, I'm going to hang out with you in some way.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
Whether it's, okay, example is, am I going to go see one person physically today? Or make 20 phone calls from my desk
yeah.
that actually touch 20 people.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a trail.
No, that's good.
It's, let's just say, example, if you're on one side, I'm on the other, you see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, how can you bring them together to get the most out of it for as long as we can?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, since we are chasing a little bit of a
yep.
rabbit, going
yep.
down a hole here,
mm-hmm.
that's okay. What I've seen, and this is the what I've seen as far as the churches that really, I don't know if thrive is the right word,
mm-hmm.
But they did more than survive. They
okay.
did more than survive the pandemic.
Okay.
What they had, the ones that they had in common is that, yes, they had some type of, you know, online worship experience,
yep.
you know, with the preaching and like you would, they did their best to replicate that in a digital environment.
Yep.
But the ones that I found successful also, because that's one way.
Yeah.
One-way communication. That is, you know, the pastor and the church and the worship team, you know, producing content,
yep.
putting it out there for you to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, ways with different, you know, like a church online platform and Facebook Live to comment and whatever. But ultimately, mm-hmm. there's no, it's really ultimately just one-way communication.
Sure.
And what I noticed is the churches that did well was the ones that did try to create for a way to not do just the one way, mm-hmm. but to have the two-way communication,
yep.
where the church person, if you will, was actually able to provide feedback. And actually, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the episode with Josh Ermler about what he calls fidgetal church.
I still remember that term. That was great.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And what he's – and this – and honestly, I, at this time, I'm not completely sure how they're doing it now. But basically, mm-hmm. just to give the quick cliff notes on that, basically, they were having physical gatherings,
okay.
but they were still prioritizing the online experience, and they were doing it completely live as a, like, it was also basically all done through Zoom. And so if you wanted to participate in church online, you didn't just go click a link and watch.
Okay.
You click the Zoom link, you join the meeting.
Oh, wow.
And he actually would give you the opportunity to, you know, like, for example, he would call on mm-hmm. somebody watching from home to read the scripture passage for the sermon. I mean, very interactive.
Yeah, that would work perfect for a small group. Obviously, I don't know how many people you can get on a Zoom call. Actually, I don't know how that works.
I think it's several hundred. Honestly,
it's funny,
depending,
like,
on how much you're willing to pay Zoom.
Right. You know, it's kind of funny. There's, you know, going back in the beginning of this year, it's like I had never been on a Zoom call before in my life, and now it's like, oh, Zoom. It's just like a common thing.
Zoom
is the thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So wish I would have bought some stock. They did well.
Whoever came up with Zoom, that's
he's
true.
A billionaire now.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, yeah. He became a billionaire in the pandemic. I forget his name, but he did well. But anyways, getting back to what. Like I said, the churches that seem to do well mm-hmm. in the digital environment were the ones that said, you know, we're going to create a space for conversation, for two-way communication. And, you know, the churches that, again, that maybe just kind of survived and squeaked by were the ones that focused more on just the, well, let's just make sure we get our church online content, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm glad they were doing at least that.
Right.
But there was really no room for that communication.
I mean, I guess we just gave one example of the Zoom. I mean, have you come across anything that people are doing that are creating that two-way, I mean, because that's some creative stuff.
Yeah,
and it's something, okay, how do we control it? How do mm-hmm. we...
Yeah,
that's a tough scenario.
I mean, we're going to talk the technical aspects of some of the church online here in a bit. But yeah, but I guess one of the big concerns there is maybe bandwidth, because I mean, whenever you're doing a big Zoom call or whatever, some where everybody can interact. And to talk about Josh Ermler, I mean, he'll tell you, he's like, it's not like they have thousands of people.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure.
I think they have. I think they have might have a couple hundred that are involved,
which is still
a lot,
pretty neat,
you know. And he said, hey, look, you have to be willing to face the technical difficulties. They're gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if the Zoom thing approach isn't, and I'm not saying that has to be the driving force of your, like,
no,
he's what Josh did particularly is he made his main worship service a interactive experience.
Okay.
But I think if you say, well, I'm not into that, I don't know if I, you know, because that can seem really overwhelming to get everybody in my church on a Zoom call. I can get how that would feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm talking about more in that, even if it's nothing else, of, hey, I've organized a small group system where, like, there was another, I can't remember who it was, another pastor who basically, he kind of did like what we've started doing, but with his church. It was like, hey, every, you know, Tuesday afternoon or something from this time to this time, I'm basically available on Zoom, and you're welcome to log in at any time, and we can talk, ask a question, I'll pray for you, whatever.
It's pretty cool.
And just creating that, again, that sense of not just a one way, but a two way.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Now we did that. We chased that rabbit pretty far down that hole, but I think it's really important to understand that as we continue into the future of, you know, what we might call the post COVID church or whatever, however it becomes known, we're going to have to continue to create ways to interact with people in both in a digital setting that's interactive, that allows them to give feedback, them to, you know, ask questions and share ideas and whatnot. So getting back to Josh's article.
Yeah.
So ultimately, here's what Josh said. You know, he laid it out his reasons. Again, I think he's got some good ones. Again, I don't know if I 100% see eye to eye with everything, but he's got some good ones.
Okay.
And then he basically said this: moving forward, our church is not, we're not going to do live stream. We're not live streaming our weekend services anymore.
Okay.
They are providing a, by request only for those who are truly at risk, truly just for health reasons, can't risk getting out into, you know, the public.
Right.
They are providing a private live stream link for those on request. But there's no public way to watch their services live. And that's it. So they are not having church online in that way.
Okay.
Now, all that to say,
yep.
He is not leaving his online audience out to dry. He's
sure.
not hanging out to dry. So the first thing they're doing is they are still dropping the archive of the service or the sermon on Monday. So
okay.
It's still out there to watch.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I think this is really cool. This is what I like to see. So let's give a little, we gave a little context about Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
Let's give some context about Josh. Josh is, his church is in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about having to compete with attractions. So his whole ministry has had to be built on really what can we offer that, I mean, people are just looking to be entertained.
Oh yeah.
And not to say they're just focusing on entertainment there. Absolutely not. But they definitely have to think, what can we do to attract people?
Mm-hmm.
And so their whole ministry has been built with this idea of, we have to have some type of online or I'm sorry, on campus experience that we offer.
Right.
I understand why that's essential to it's how ministry works for them. Just
I would say, once again, the different parts of the country, different things. So.
Yeah, different. Yep. And so his model of ministry, it just cannot completely abandon which I don't, you know, and I don't think any church is looking to abandon the on-campus experience, but it can't do it to the extreme that you know, an Andy Stanley or maybe other churches have done. So I understand that as far as understanding that context. So what I like, though, is that Josh said, okay, we're going to make this decision, but we're not going to leave that online audience hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've decided to do instead, so they're not leaving their audience hanging. They're
right,
not leaving
right.
their digital audience there with nothing. They're still in place of where they would have live streamed their weekly service.
Okay.
They are doing a Sunday, what they're calling the Sunday show. And again, you can check out the article to read all the details about it. I highly recommend it.
Yep.
But this is a weekly 45-minute show with a high-quality demonstration of what Southern Hills is really all about. This weekly broadcast will be widely distributed multiple times every weekend on Facebook, Vimeo, and YouTube.
Wow.
That's according to the article itself. So
okay.
What they're doing is they're offering an alternative. In light of their ministry model, which
yep.
I understand why it would need to prioritize the on-campus experience,
sure.
They are saying, okay, but we still want to reach people online. So they basically use this show to do things such as, you know, have a, like talk about what's coming up next at the church, different
right.
ways that they can get involved.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing it's, you know, great time to do, you know, little promo videos for, hey,
yep.
well, of course, once again, who knows what next year will be like,
yep.
but hey, you know, this Sunday is this, and
yep.
things that we have been preaching for a long time, don't waste time talking about during your actual service.
Exactly.
Because people will fall asleep. It's like, get to the preaching. That's yep. why we're here, you know? So that right there is enough soul for me. I mean, that's good.
Yes. So that's exactly that. It's just kind of saying, hey, here's what our church is all about. They talk about maybe some of the upcoming events and announcements and things like that. Josh does get on and give a small devotion, you know, whatever. But their ultimate goal is to encourage people to, hey, you still have time to join us for one of our on-campus experiences.
Okay.
You know, if you want to join us,
yeah.
We'd love to have you. It's like a he kind of describes it as a commercial or even an infomercial.
Okay.
It's kind of like, hey, here's a little spot about what our church is all about. We're using this online time to talk about it. It's kind of like the other ways he describes it as a front door into their church. You know, you can kind of say, here, you should just kind of get a little taste of it, if you will.
Yeah.
And so anyways, it's a really, definitely innovative thought.
Okay.
And I think it's a really interesting approach to church online, to not abandon, again, in light of the model that's worked for them,
right.
to not abandon their online audience altogether, but to also provide do it in a way to where it does prioritize on campus while allowing online to be something that that is there, but is pushing them on campus. And and I, what I appreciate about this is, like I said, I may not agree with all the reasoning behind it, and you know, I, which again is why I want to hopefully get Josh back on here to talk through that, maybe pick his brain on some of this stuff. But this is something that I think is really just very creative, very out of the box, and a way to really kind of do both things. Now, and here's the thing too, they're going out of their way to do something extra still reach people. And I know, Josh, they don't like to do things, you know, poorly, so they're doing it well, and they're you know, they're producing it well. And I actually need to go on and I kind of want to watch one right now.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you're a creative mind. I'm thinking from a producer standpoint. Okay, what would I put in there? How would I create it? Would I have, like, hey, here's someone who's new to our church. Here's a like a what do you call that? Kind of like a testimonial.
Things
like, hey, if people that would never have a chance to tell their story.
Exactly. You know, it's
like that's, I can see that really being popular. I really do. That's really cool.
So they started doing this in November.
Okay.
I don't really know what time. You know, they're on, I think they're on Pacific time out there. But anyway, so I want to check it out sometime. But just another, if you will, angle of ways, of a way to go about reaching people online.
Well, I want to pick your brain for a second. I mean, you work with, I mean, so many pastors, so many church leaders, people that are in our space. With something like this, because our motto around here is like, hey, try something new.
Exactly.
You might fail, but it's like you at least tried it.
The irreverent way we say it is to just do stuff.
That's what we around the office, we just came, hey, just do something.
Just do stuff.
Just try it.
Don't overthink it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So in your opinion, and maybe it's a tough question, do you think, you know, with pastors, they don't try new things because they simply don't want to put the work in, or they just think it's going to fail? Because so many people, we all know different people. Some people try things because they love a challenge. Like, I'm just going to try this. I might blow it up, or I might blow it out of the water. I mean, in a good way. So with something like this, not just saying, you know, talking about Josh Tice specifically, but with pastors, do you think they just have a lack of, I just don't want to fail at this, I don't have the resources for this, or they just really, truly think their way's the best, and they're just good? It's kind of, I don't even know how to ask that question, but it's kind of a, I mean, maybe it's just as simple as pastors, they in themselves have different personalities. I'm going to go after this. Nobody's done it. I'm going to try it, see how it works. And other people go, I kind of get frozen in my zone, and this is not my thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's
what I want to say, I think there's a couple different reasons, but I want to start with is, I think I see it the same way as I see the difference between someone who's maybe an entrepreneur and someone who's just a, you know, whatever the term would be for, you know, hey, I just clock in, clock out.
You're a 9-to-5-er.
9-to-5-er.
That's the mentality. You're an entrepreneur, or you're a 9-to-5-er.
Yeah.
You like to stick with what you know.
Exactly.
And other people, everything is new all the time.
Yeah. So I'm my mindset is I'm an entrepreneur.
You are.
I've started my own business.
Sure.
That's what I do, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's really hard to think like a 9-to-5-er. It's really hard for me to think, why are you content to, you know, and anyways, there's people out there listening, and I'm not hating on you. I'm just very vulnerable. This is just something I'm like, I just don't understand. But on the flip side, there are people that are just more, like I said, calling the 9-to-5 or whatever, that go, I don't understand how you could risk that.
It's different personalities. I mean, there's safety in being a 9-to-5-er mentality, or there's, I know there's more risk in being,
For 4.5 years, I haven't really known what my income's going to be any given month or week even.
Sure.
And it's just something that, you know, you kind of just, to me, I like kind of enjoy the risk and whatever, but I can understand why other people are like, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
So I say that because I think a lot of that exists in the mindset of church leaders and pastors, there's some risk involved in trying new things.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we say it every episode, try new things. You know, but we understand it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of pastors are saying they don't want to try new things, not because they don't perceive the potential benefit of it,
yeah,
but because they are just very, very comfortable with the familiar.
Sure.
And I heard a great quote. I mean, it's nearly impossible to grow in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think that comes from Craig Groeschel or someone.
I think it's nothing grows. Your comfort zone is a comfortable place, but nothing grows there.
Yeah. Something like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I find that to be very true. Yeah. You can't really grow and improve if you just remain with what's familiar.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is what, and you can't, so I say it that way because I don't want, again, those people out there think, oh, he's just picking on us pastors.
Yeah, and it was
a human thing.
It was, and it was a hard question for me to throw at you. And I guess if you were to ask me, is I applaud Josh mm-hmm. for just, he's just trying this.
Exactly.
Because so many people go, no, there's no way I would try something like mm-hmm. that. It's like, even if it falls on its face, which I don't think it will, I think mm-hmm. it's really cool. I think it's going to work. But it's like, dude, he just took the risk and he's going to give it a whirl mm-hmm. and it might be great. So yeah. I applaud that more than someone who says, yeah, I'm just going to stick with what I know and be safe.
Exactly. No, I mean, I will say this. What he's doing here in terms of – I've seen the type of stuff they put out. They don't do stuff, they don't do stuff half-heartedly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a level of production quality that he's putting out and that I understand would be maybe difficult to replicate. So I'll say this. You say, that's a really good idea,
mm-hmm.
but if your church isn't equipped for it, well, it may not be for you.
Yep, I was just going to say, because I'm, once again, putting on my producer and, kind of technical hats here. This, and obviously, what's your thought on this, too? If you are a church who likes that idea, but you're not equipped for it, I guess I'm going to go this way. Let's say you love live stream and you do it well. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna get my thoughts together here. You do live stream. You don't do it well. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, not so great. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, thanks for trying, but, is, in your opinion, is there some benefits to actually taking this approach? Because there goes a lot of work goes into, having, the network mm-hmm. and the whatever program you use and the cameras and everything. You might be able to produce something better if you say, hey, I'm just going to record it. Take a day to edit it, put it together, and then it goes up the next day. You have a little more control, maybe a little more creative liberty. And once time is, if you have more time, you have is always nice.
Of course.
So just that alone, it might be something to consider. Say, hey, if my live stream is kind of like, I'm doing something really small, or please don't put your iPhone on your pulpit or, whatever. Yeah. Please don't do that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not going to go down that hole because I'll go nuts.
Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week. Try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.